So, we're on air.
Great. Welcome. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to our the Target Approach. We're going to be covering some really great, a really great process today, not only about how to use the ICF core competencies in a way that will expand your coaching, but also take a closer look on how we can do that at an ACC, PCC, and MCC level. So welcome today. My name is Karen Boskemper, and I have my partner, Carly Anderson, here today with me. She'll introduce herself in a minute. I am a professional coach. I'm also an ICF assessor and mentor coach. And together with Carly, we run a program called the Mentor Coaching Group, which is a 5 to 6 month coach mentor program to help coaches get prepared for their ICF credential. And so you can have a look online at the mentorcoachinggroup.com to see what we do. And if you're looking for some support in your credentialing, we're more than happy to assist. Besides being a coach, I'm also an mentor coach. I'm also an executive coach and leadership development consultant. I've been in learning and development field for about 15 years, and I work both in the corporate arena and also within the U.S. government sector in Washington, D.C. This is the area where I live with my husband right now. And as you can hear, I'm not originally from Texas. I'm actually from England, but I was raised and educated in Germany and South Africa, and I've been in the United States now for 23 years. I also have a little bit of a Dutch heritage. My father was Dutch, and so I was thinking, well, Danish and Dutch and German, but I noticed just listening to your language now that there's absolutely no resemblance. So I could greet you all in German or perhaps Dutch, but definitely not in Danish. So that's a little bit about me today. Before I continue, I'd love to just let Carly introduce herself as well. So Carly?
Thanks, Karen, but I do want to hear you say something in German.
Willkommen.
That's better than I can do. Welcome, everyone. I'm really delighted to be here. And Karen and I have been working very, very closely together for 3 years of fun, fabulous fun. Everybody needs to have a business partner like Karen. It's really a joy, and we have lots. If we don't laugh every day, then there's something wrong. So that's a wonderful thing to have. And we just get to work with the most wonderful people around the world. And like Karen, I do mentor coaching. I'm also an ICF assessor. Like Karen, I also do MCC skill level assessing. And Karen and I were both trained in the PCC markers by the ICF. Feels like years ago. I don't know when it was. And then we both, well, for me, I also do contract work in executive coaching, so I'm offered contracts to work with different people, either engineers or managers or people moving upward in an organization. And so that gives me a great balance. And originally, I'm from Australia. I married an American coach, Michael Stratford. Those of you do know Michael. He came to Denmark, and I came with him four or five years ago. I'm really not sure which it is. And was delighted. You have such a beautiful country there. And so I live in California, Southern California, in Laguna Hills, and really happy to be here with you today and share some distinctions. So Karen's going to start us off, and we're going to do our little dance. So you'll hear Karen and I will always say our name first, and so you can hear who we are, because you may not pick the difference always between us. And we really want participation, so we are going to engage you as much as you want to engage with us. So over to you, Karen.
Great. Thank you, Carly. So, yes, so just to give you a brief sort of idea of what we'll be going through today, obviously we've done welcome and introductions. What we'll go into next is we'll be looking at the distinctions between ACC, PCC, MCC, sort of on a high level, and also Carly will take us through the Target Approach, which is a program that she developed after years and years of experience teaching coaching skills, being an assessor, And this methodology has really helped many, many coaches sort of get a feel for how the 11 core competency really work in real life. So we'll take about 25 to 30 minutes for that. Then Carly is going to give us a treat by doing a live demo, coaching demo, showing us how to actually engage with the core of the target approach and what that looks like at the MCC skill level. So we're really in for a great treat there today. Then we'll do a coaching debrief. You know, we'll just debrief and answer any questions, and then we'll close and wrap up. So for the demo, for the coaching demo, we do need a volunteer. And Annette, I believe that you sent out an email asking if anybody would like to be a volunteer.
Yes, I did. And I have not heard from anyone. So I don't know
okay.
if anyone is willing to now. Or, of course, I will be there if you if nobody else is ready. I have something prepared.
Great, fantastic, Annette, thank you. So yes, so if any of you on the call are interested to be coached for 25, 30 minutes on a topic by Carly and get some MCC level coaching, please, when the time comes, we'll ask for a volunteer. Please feel free to step up. The good news is you don't have to coach her. She will be coaching you. So, and we want, if you can, it needs to be a topic that's narrow enough and yet also meaningful that we can get some resolution around. So an example of a broad topic that wouldn't really quite be suitable for this demonstration would be, for instance, I want to figure out what to do with the rest of my life. That's a very, very broad topic versus a sort of narrower topic that might be, well, you know, I need to have this difficult conversation with my boss or my client, and I want to make sure that I know how to do it effectively. So that would be an example of a more narrow-focused topic. So great. So when we get to that, we will look to some of you, hopefully, who will step up and want to be coached. All right, so let's first move into looking at the distinctions of ACC, PCC, and MCC. So the first thing that we want to look at is at ACC level, we are usually looking and focusing on the what. In other words, what is the problem? What is the solution? So the primary focus is really placed on dealing with the situation that the client brings to the call and finding very actionable steps and solutions to address that particular problem. So the coach's role is really that of a problem solver. I'm here to help you solve your problem. And that's what we call, when you hear in the ICF, we often talk about the who and the what, that's the what. When we move into PCC level coaching, here the coach begins to sort of act as a partial partner to a client and starts to also pay attention to the who of the client. And when we say the who of the client, what we mean is, who is this client? What are their strengths? What are their beliefs? What do they value? What are their habits? What makes them tick? How do they view the world? So the coach is not only just focusing on the agenda, but is also looking at how that individual operates in the world. What are some of the underlying issues or beliefs that are operating that may need to be addressed in the coaching situation. So there's an equal balance, in a way, of focusing on the individual's inner way of being and also focusing on the problem and solution. Then at MCC level, here's where the coach really begins to act more as an integrated partner and is really connected to the whole of the client. So the coach is getting very curious about how the space of thinking, feeling, and being of the client. And so there's also the sense of a of a dance between coach and client where it's not obvious that one person is a coach and the other one is client. It's an organic conversation that is undiluted by any need to perform from the coach's perspectives. And so here what you're doing is, so in the PCC level, we're focusing the what and the who, and in the MCC, we're coaching the who to get to the what. So by engaging with the client on that deeper level, the what, the solution, what the client wants to do or needs to do, comes naturally and organically. So let me pause and also check with Carly. Do you have anything to add, Carly, about that?
Yes, that was an excellent, excellent overview. And I just want to check first with Annette. Do you need to check anyone else in or ask for anything?
I just heard a few people maybe signed in. So I don't know who is here with us. Maybe just briefly mention your name if someone just joined us.
Birgit is arrived.
Birgit. Yes, great, Birgit. And you can mute yourself to press star 6.
Sure.
And do we have Jesper and Annie with us also? So who is we having with us now?
My name is Jesper.
Yeah, welcome, Jesper.
Thank you. Sorry for the delay.
Yeah, that's okay. You can just listen in. And you can mute yourself to press star 6, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I think you can just go on, Colin.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Annette. So this is Carly speaking now, and that was an excellent overview. We're going to open it up for questions in a moment. I'll just add that this concept of partnering has become really, really to the forefront in the credentialing process, especially we've learned through PCC markers that there are specific partnering behaviours. And so that's another indication. If you look at ACC skill level coaching, is there's less partnering. As Karen said, there's more of a mindset of I'm here to help fix a problem and solve something. It often comes out of being consultants or experts in our life, in our previous lives or in our current lives, and we bring that expert mindset and problem solving into the coaching, and so the partnering is minimal, and the role of doer, feeling like the coach has to do a lot, is evident. As with at PCC, as Karen said, now the who and the what, you're starting to understand who this client is. So there's that partial partnership happening. You're starting to trust the client a little more, trust the coaching process, and focus a little more on who this person is. And then at the MCC skill level, you shift that completely around so that your mindset is more about who is this person and the trust in the partnership, that you trust your client and you trust your coaching skills to such an extent that your curiosity leads. You're not doing, you are being, and you are being someone who is very curious who this person is. What makes them unique? How do they process things in the world? What are their beliefs and assumptions about what they want to accomplish? And then you find what needs to be addressed. So it's like, what are the gaps between where they are now and where they want to be? And the way to do that is in full partnership, integrated partnership with who they are, and what always comes. It's amazing. If you know, you still have attention on what they want, the way you get there is through finding out about who the client is and how they operate. And that's motivating when we do things our way rather than someone telling us, do this, do that, do this, do that. That's minimal value to our clients, unless that's what they're hiring you to do as a consultant. But as a coach, we want to draw out what our clients know so that they own their actions and they feel motivated and inspired to do the things that they want to do.
Mm.
I think that's it, Karen.
Great. Thank you, Carly. And just as a tip for the audience here today, and I know, Carly, you'll be getting into a coaching presence when we get into the target approach in just a minute, but take a look at the PCC markers for those of you who are on the call, and really look at the language under coaching presence. You'll find that word of partnering in several of the new PCC markers, and as I said, Carly will go into those, but I really recommend for you to take a look at those. All right, since we're talking about core competencies already with coaching presence, we know that the ICF, of course, has 11 core competencies. And when you look at the documentation from the ICF, they provide very comprehensive documents for each of the credential levels. And so, but what we see is that in all of these documents, the competencies are listed in a linear fashion. And so we see competency one starting at meeting ethical guidelines, competency two, establishing the coaching agreement, etc. And so we have a tendency to read from the top to the bottom, and yet we know that in real life, we don't actually really coach in a linear fashion. And so what Carly has successfully done is to pull out and she'll demonstrate to us through the target approaches what are some of the core competencies that are actually more core than others. And that's what we'll be looking at. And so I'm going to pass over to you, Carly, unless you have anything else to add to that.
No, that's great. I think I want to open it up for a moment to any comments or questions about the distinctions that we've given you so far between ACC, PCC, and MCC. What questions or comments do you have for us? And so you may need to unmute yourself by pressing star 6 again if you've muted yourself.
And this is Karen. This is where you all get to participate. Yay.
Yes,
Jesper
here. Yeah. Jesper here. I would say the ACC surprised me a bit because it's so very direct and problem solving from the coach's approach as well. Maybe because the way I've been trained, it's more in the PCC direction or on the PCC level. So comments is just that it surprised me that you can be so direct, solutions-oriented in the ACC, you know, trying to give some solutions for the problems. And it seems like a big jump from ACC to PCC. I know PCC contains both from MCC and ACC, but it seems like a big jump compared from PCC to MCC. It seems a more fine refinement, if you can say that in English.
Mm-hmm.
I know, of course, there's a long way from PCC to MCC to this mastery of the conversation.
Yeah, and this is Carly. I like that. There's definitely a shift in mindset that has to happen for most coaches who want to go toward their MCC because we're so used to being the expert in our lives, or we start to gain habits through coaching, and most people will learn PCC skill level and attend an accredited coach training program. And yes, the ACC, while it's not encouraged, and it certainly may not pass an ACC credential if you are just giving advice, the mindset of the coach is more about that rather than what they actually say. You can feel that they're trying to solve the problem. So they'll ask questions like, what do you want to have? What do you want to achieve? What are the strategies? So it's very linear. It has more of a linear
feel. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, then not really going non-linear into the person as well. Really nice.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Thanks, Jesper.
Yeah, and this is Karen. I just wanted to add that too, is that ACC by no means is about giving advice. It's really, as Carly demonstrated, asking those more linear, simple questions where the coach is focusing on the problem versus focusing on the person. And that's the difference.
Okay.
When, if you think about the mindset, if we're focusing on the problem, the questions that we will come up with or establish are going to be very different than if we have, with our mindset is focused on the person and how they think and how they operate.
Ah, yeah, that's very clear put. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Karen. Anyone else have questions or comments?
This is Annette. I just have a maybe small little comment because I often find that when the beginner coach, the ACC level coach, it's often their presence and their listening that is actually at another level, if you can put it that way. So they listen to solve problems, or they're present in another way that will not permit the partnership there, and they don't have the level of the trust. And when that comes in, it's like then people automatically move into the PCC level, at least at some of the core competences. So it's like you say, it's the mindset that will actually not let the client shine as much as they can somehow.
Yes, Annette, this is Karen. Beautifully said, and it's a great segue also for Carly to go into the target approach, and because you're right, it's in our listening that tells us where we're going to focus. So if we're listening from the mindset, I am the expert, or I need to bring value, or I need to do something for this client, then we're going to more likely go into helping them solve their problem because we have this feeling that we need to accomplish something. Whereas if we're just listening for the person and who they are, that is a very different focus. Great observation.
Yeah, Karen, so, that's great. That's a really great segue, you're right, straight into the core competencies that I have in the middle of the target approach. So I'll go there.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm just going to...
Sorry, Carly, I just want to let everybody know this is where they can also turn to their handout.
Right, yes.
So...
Yes, great. Page 2 of the handout, you can see that there's some rings that look like an archery target, although not in the colours of one, but you'll see that there's 3 rings. And so for me, when I looked at how the core competencies worked in real life, I realised that at the centre, at the very core of these core competencies, I call them the target competencies, is coaching presence, as we've just been talking about. What are you present to? How do you connect to yourself? How do you connect to your client? As Annette beautifully said too, there's a level of trust. So there's like, how do you trust? What do you trust? And that's the partnering piece. So it's about being completely present. So we all have biases and assumptions about what we think we need to do to be effective as a human being and then as a coach. And so that's where it comes from. So that's why we always work a lot with our mentoring clients and with ourselves on our presence and being more present in the moment and being more open to not knowing and being curious about who this other person is. And also in the middle, right there in the middle of the target, I put ethics as well, because in order to know what coaching presence is, you need to know what coaching is. So ethical guidelines, knowing what a coaching process is and how it's different than consulting or therapy or teaching, you need to know. So right in the middle of that dark blue circle in the handout is where you put coaching presence and ethics. Now, what you're present to will inform your listening. So the next circle out is listening. If you listen more to problem solve, that will give a different result than if you listen to who this person is for their greatness and their gifts, as well as what may be their limiting patterns of either thinking or acting. So you're listening for the totality as you go up from PCC to MCC. You're listening more for the whole human being, and your listening will inform the next circle out, which is powerful questions. It will inform the type, your listening will inform the type of questions you ask and whether you ask more about the what and keep it at that sort of linear level, or whether you go more into the who and who this person is and how they feel and how they think and what their values are, etc. Also in that outer ring, your listening is informing direct communication. And direct communication has a number of things in it. As Karen said earlier, for those of you who are aware of the PCC markers, they give you some great indications of specific behaviours that you can be working toward, and they're a great foundation to train yourselves and do some self-learning around. You can get them on the ICF website. They're under the individual credentialing tab under PCC information. But direct communication is about how direct and succinct you speak. It's also about how directly you use client-specific language, how you use concepts that are visual concepts. Like if a client talks about wearing many hats, your ability to work with that and create questions, what type of hats do you like to wear? How many hats do you have, do you have in the air at any one time? What's the quality of your hat? I mean, you can be very creative with your questions, which is why I put direct communication and questions on the same rung, the same circle, because they are both informed by your listening, and you may at times use your direct communication to inform your questions. Use client language and be specific in the type of things that you ask based on what the client is presenting you. So that's simply the target. They are the target competencies. If you really get good at coaching presence and really keep, it's a continuous learning from my experience. You have to be present and learning all the time about yourself and how to take your own biases and assumptions away so you can be purely present with this other human being called your coaching client. And that'll inform your listening, which informs your questions and type of communication. So let me pause there and ask if anyone has any questions about the target competencies, especially seeing we're looking at distinctions between ACC, PCC and MCC. If any questions come up. Oh, it must be really clear, Karen.
I have a question. It just takes a little time to unmute.
Yes.
I have a question about the direct communication, because you say it's about using client-specific language. But isn't it also being able to share or your intuition or being very open and direct in what you observe? And also inviting the client to be very direct and honest in their communication with you.
Yes, you're right. I would put the first part of what you said in direct communication, so your comments, observations, intuitions, definitely mm-hmm. messages, reflections, mm-hmm. and encouraging the client to be direct can be mm-hmm. both about presence, and it mm-hmm. can also be about us being willing to make observations about the client's way of being as well. So yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay, thank you.
Nice addition.
Yeah, and this is Karen. I just want to add, so if you look under coaching presence, for instance, marker number 6 actually says coach partners with a client by inviting the client to respond in any way to the coach's contributions and accepts the client's response. So
nice.
Absolutely, we want the client to also be direct and share what's on their mind.
Yes.
Great question.
So Karen, I have a suggestion of a way to move forward from here.
Sure.
So the other thing we want to do is a coaching demonstration. And one of the key competencies that we'll debrief maybe instead of talk about it up front is the creation of the coaching agreement, because that encompasses coaching presence, the type of listening the coach does, the type of questions and direct communication. And seeing, I can see where our time is already. Maybe we can mm-hmm. go into a coaching demo, and then as we debrief, we'll really focus in on these core competencies plus coaching agreement, which is a core competency that you need to engage with to be effective as a coach. What do
right.
you think?
I think that's a great idea. Yep. So then let's see. Do we have somebody who would be willing to volunteer as the client today, so that for Carly to coach? Don't be shy.
Mm-hmm. Should I volunteer?
Sure. And who's speaking?
Jesper. Jesper speaking.
Jesper? Thank you, Jesper. Yes, so Jesper, Carly, do you want to just see what Jesper has on his mind to see if it's a good fit?
Yes, certainly. I mean, so Jesper, what is the situation that you have?
I have a topic. It's about getting a small ebook finished that I find challenging. I more or less know what the content is, but I somehow have troubles with finishing it, simply sitting down and writing it. That could be my topic.
Okay, that's a great topic.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll do that. Oh, is that your child? He wants to be here?
Yeah, I've tried to pacify them with a bit of movie. But it's okay, it's okay.
Bribe them with a movie.
Yes. exactly. Sorry, I hope it doesn't disturb too much. They're not talking much. No.
Okay, no problem. We'll do this maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I'm okay just to move forward if you are.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so for everyone else, you can be listening for any of the competencies we've talked about and also the establishment of the coaching agreement. You can just make your notes and we'll do a debrief after. So everyone else, if you can be on mute, star 6 if you're not on mute now, and so Jesper and I and just here. So Jesper, can you tell me a little more about how long you've been working on this small ebook?
It has been since this autumn. I got the idea that I wanted to do it. I think about August, September, I started getting the idea and have been done a lot of thinking about it.
And may I ask the topic?
Yes, the topic is a small ebook it's called Rethink. It's for small entrepreneurs, single person companies and small, medium-sized enterprises. And it's about a timeout. It's a book if you are already working, maybe you're working too fast and too hard, or you're too focused on earning money because you have to pay the rent and so on. And this is meant as a small timeout. Take a timeout to find where's the money. Where's your passion, and what kind of difference does your business make compared to others in the market?
That's really nice. So a small time out to consider your passion, is that what you said?
Yeah, I suppose where's the money in my business, and also, but importantly, just as much, where's my passion? It's a bit, it's an Australian company I'm working together with in Europe. And they have this slogan, make money, have fun, change the world, which I very much like. So it's this, as a self-employed person, you need to always be aware, where can I earn some money? Because you don't have a big company, you don't have the safety and all that. And at the same time, you need to have fun, what I call passion, what drives you forward, that really gives you energy. And the third one, what kind of difference does you make? So it's not just me earning money, having fun, but also do I make a difference for other people?
Your energy is really clear when you talk about this. I get it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And did you say an Australian company is involved?
Yes, it's an Australian company called Edgeware Creative Entrepreneurship. Mainly work with creative people. They're sort of got out of that where creative people usually don't know how to do accounting or don't like marketing, you know, the hardcore in the business, but try to help them anyway.
Well, we Australians do want to take over the world, it seems. that's so infiltrating
well,
everywhere.
You're doing pretty good, yes. Sorry.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you giving me a little more about this. And so I'm wondering, given that you're passionate about this, and what is stopping you from finishing the book?
Well, I don't know, actually. It's sort of very clear in my head what needs to be done, but, you know, this kind of from having it in my head to sit down in front of the computer and say it's type it out. And I even don't have that big expectations. I know the first sketch will be a sketch, so it doesn't have to be perfect. So that's what I've been thinking a lot about. You know, this silly question, why, how come you don't do it? What I've already done is try and, you know, put time in the calendar, in the agenda, and say, now I take an hour there or an hour there, and then I'm really excellent in procrastination. Because I'm doing... yeah.
You have a degree in procrastination?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I would have, yeah. So it starts to be a sort of barrier, and I can't figure it out.
Okay. So may I ask you, what do you feel we need to address? Is it the procrastination as a barrier, or is there something else in this coaching session?
I'm not quite sure. It's sort of... it's probably the procrastination part that keeps me away from doing it. What makes me confident, the reason why I'm not really frustrated, you know, it annoys me, definitely, but I'm not really frustrated is because I keep thinking about it, you know, I keep thinking about the book, so I also feel that something happened, you know, maybe I'm in my mind writing it, just not physically.
Okay, so there is a lot going on and there's creation going, but there's something about procrastination or some barrier there that is frustrating you. And if we were to get to the key or unlock that, what would you have by the end of the session? What would have changed?
I think the difference would be... maybe to have some sort of manual, maybe not written, you know, but in my head, some actions I can try out, some new ideas to say, maybe, yeah, things I can experiment with to get over these procrastinations.
Okay. Anything else we'd need to address?
As we speak, it gets more clear that this really is about this procrastination thing. So I think that would be the main, most important thing, as I see it, for me to move on.
Okay. Well, seeing you have a degree or you're very, very competent in procrastination, I think that's what you told me.
Yes.
You obviously know a lot about it. How would you like us to explore this?
Good question. How would I like to explore it? I think, how can I keep myself on track? I think it's connected with these actions. How can I figure out some actions I can try out and see if that makes a difference in me moving along? I don't know. Is that clear? Okay.
So if you were moving along this track, where's the starting point for moving along this track?
I mean, the starting point would be after have putting maybe set time off in the agenda to say, I'm not going to do anything else. This is now the book. for these next X hours. That would be the starting point.
Okay. Well, it seems pretty clear. What has stopped you from doing that in the past?
The world, I think. I really tried, you know, unplug the internet, don't get distracted by emails and all that. Then I go wash some clothes. Then I try to, you know, move away from home to sit in a cafe. I really tried to change the settings. And then I end up studying the people who are sitting there instead of writing. So it's sort of... I sort of be more interested in my surrounding when I really have to do this. And it bit surprises me because I do consider myself to be not an over-the-extreme disciplined person, but after all, I can be disciplined when I have to do something.
What helps you in terms of your values? What helps you to remain disciplined to the things that you find important to you?
Thinking about that when I do something, I usually do it for a client or a customer, and in respect to them, they deserve the best I can offer. I feel obliged to do my best when somebody buys my services or pays for it.
Okay.
So maybe this... Well, that could be. That's an interesting point. That my book might not have a client. It offers a service, but it doesn't have a specific customer or client. So I'm not feeling that obliged to do my best in that case.
Ah.
Oh, that could be an interesting point. Hmm. Yeah.
What are you getting now? What's happening?
Yeah. I'm thinking ahead. If someone would said, can you please write me this small ebook about time outs for small companies and please hand it in 14 days, I'm pretty much sure I would get it done quite right away. But since it's my own idea, my own project, and nobody's really asking for it, it seems to get all behind all the time or just be left on the table. So the interesting... The interesting thing now you are asking this question is that how could I get someone to ask for this kind of book? I mean, it's my idea, it's my project, but if someone was to say, listen, I need this, can you please do it? That would be something different. That would be quite interesting. Although right now I cannot imagine who. But it could be interesting to look for. Who could be a possible... I don't know what you call it in English. A possible...
Prospect?
Customer. Prospect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about... When you think about having a customer to write this for or a prospect to write this book for, that seemed to shift your energy a lot. You seemed to become lighter and there was some light bulbs or something went off.
Oh, you heard that, yeah. this is a whole new perspective. I hadn't thought of that before. But when you said this about... when I am disciplined in other cases, and it was quite clear to me that, of course, I have to do my best. Somebody's paying for me. And that was the missing link or the missing item in the ebook.
Okay. So given that you said you wanted to experiment or you wanted to have things that you could experiment with, what could you possibly experiment with here?
Well, writing books normally also have peer groups, people who read it for you and give feedback. Maybe If I could find someone, one or more persons, who I could explain the idea to, and then they would say, yes, we need it. Can you give it to us, please? That would be interesting to see then what happens. And even if they would say, oh, can I have it in a month's time, because I really need it for this and this day. It's a sort of self-help book, you know.
Yeah, I'm wondering what event you might create or ask to be created by this peer group that would help you to set a deadline.
Yeah, me too, yeah. What could be interesting there, yeah. Maybe if someone said, well, listen, I have taken a day off, or I've taken 2 days off to develop my own company, and I need your book so I can sit and work with that and look at the worksheets that are connected to the book and see where it goes. That could help when someone specifically say, I have taken time off to look at my own business, and I need your book to help me do that. Then it would need to be finished at a certain time. So I need to find at least one person. Or I could try and find one person. Then maybe someone who has thought about it, say, oh, I've actually gone and thinking about, you know, closing the company for a couple of days and just taking time for myself and think about what I'm doing.
So is that something you want to take on as a step?
Yeah, I have no person in mind, but now I actually know what to look for. I didn't do that before, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be a next step. That could be a very interesting next step for me. And I have the feeling that this might bring me something completely different, what I was looking for.
That's great. I have something I want to offer you that came up earlier, and it's come up again just as you're speaking. This material is obviously very dear to you. You don't write something unless you've had some experience or something. That's my assumption.
Yep.
And you said something earlier that it's a small time out to consider your passion.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just a really powerful statement, I felt, of this. And I wonder what, if anything, you could use and apply of your own material or in order to move this forward.
I'm not quite sure I get the question.
So the small time out to consider your passion.
Yeah.
What do you know about taking time out and taking time to consider your passion that might be applicable to you in this moment?
To use it on myself.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's, are you using this on yourself?
Yes, regularly I'm trying to use it myself, but I haven't done, I haven't done it on the book. I think otherwise I wouldn't sit here in this coaching session. So I haven't thought of that. It completely was so far away from my mind. But of course, yes, I use it for products and for my other areas of my business. But I haven't used it for the book, ironically enough. That could be a good idea, yeah, absolutely. That would be aspects of these worksheets and ideas that could be interesting to put in that perspective. Absolutely, yes. That's a good idea. I like that, yeah.
So you mentioned, I'm just wondering where the procrastination is now when you think about where we started. How are you feeling?
Maybe hiding under the table or something, you know, locked up somewhere. I mean, right now I have a very clear idea in getting someone to commit, how can I put it, to commit to sort of demand this product from me. Say, I need you to deliver this ebook to me. Because I need to use it. and I want it within X time. I think that's a very clear project I could go on with right now. And I think that I have a clear feeling that that would make a difference. And I need to figure out who could that be, who would help me in that sense.
Would you like to do a little bit of that now, or do you want to take that on as a project?
I think I'll take that on as a project. It seems like a very clear project, actually.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like that's my next step in getting onwards with this project.
Okay. And when the procrastination, if it's hiding under the table, if the procrastination all of a sudden shows itself, what will you do?
Yes, and that leads to a question, what do I do the other times when I'm more disciplined and procrastination pops up? Well, usually instead of completely ignoring it, I would take a timeout in the timeout, if you can say so. Actually say, okay, now it's okay to take 10 minutes and check mails and see who's been writing and are there any urgent mails lying there, or go on Facebook or whatever, Twitter or whatever, and say, okay, 10 minutes from now, let's do some procrastination and then back to work afterwards. In the other situation, that have helped me very good.
You sound clear, and I'm wondering if that would work for you to consciously experiment with.
I think so, and maybe even do it as a small reward. You know, so rewarding myself that now I have been working intensively for some time, now I can reward myself with a break, and I can do whatever I want in that break without having a bad conscience about. So I think instead of having the procrastination under the table, maybe inviting it in small doses and say, it's okay now for the next 10 minutes or whatever, and then on with the work afterwards.
Sounds like some fun, or something fun has come into this, or I don't know, how would you describe
definitely,
it?
Definitely more fun, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not a... Yeah, I mean, this is really an eye-opener, that one with having someone asking for the product, or you know, say, I need this, instead of just having a project that's sort of floating around in the air and nobody really asks for it. I think that's the really, really big difference for me now. And it's quite, it makes things very much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely. And, so, yeah.
So let me check with you because I'm aware of our time. Are you ready to sort of start to wrap up? Do you need to?
Yeah, that would be perfect. I'm ready to go working.
Okay, oh, good. So, what did you gain or learn today?
What I learned today about myself is that I'm actually working the best. I'm giving my the best if someone needs it. And I think that's quite important for me to think about also in the way I'm working. And it could even have influenced other areas of my work, because if I sometimes think I really want to offer this service but nobody asks for it, I should consider maybe looking at what people need. So in that sense, in other areas of my working life as well.
Wonderful.
But yeah.
If I can ask you, if you imagine now your book is written and you look back on today, what will you be saying about the journey you've just been on?
In these minutes where we have been talking?
Yeah, if you look back, if you imagine now that you've completed this e-book and it's someone has asked for it and you're now... it's completed and you have done it. What's one thing that you would be proud of yourself for having done along the way to get there?
Definitely to kick myself in the butt and get moving on. And I think the usual importance of being a small company, being self-employed, talk with people. Maybe even get a coach. Yeah. I mean, not getting a coach to develop yourself in your professionality, but actually get a coach on topics you have.
Mm. Is that something you want to start with as well? Or take on?
Sure, definitely. I mean, the most coaching conversations I have is on a professional level. I mean, this writing a book is also professional. I don't know if it's clear enough, but you know, going in and say, I have some quite normal, everyday challenges I would like to look at, instead of say, okay, I have to look at my skills as a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, so have both the professional angle, which I have today, but also take some more actually basic, everyday, small issues that I would like to look at and do something about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've come a long way in our coaching session here. Your clarity sounds much more light to me. So I just want to check with you, is there anything else we need to address before we finish today?
No, I think that's more than enough.
Okay.
It's I feel like it's a big jump. Yeah.
Good, good. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to coach you, and I think it's exciting to consider writing something and having it done for someone else and getting it out there. So, good luck.
Definitely. Thank you. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Karen?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Carly, and thank you, Jasper. That was really fabulous. And I'd love to open up a discussion for all of us. And the first question is, you know, what did you observe around the core target approach competencies in Carly's coaching today?
I don't know if anyone else is here, but this is Annette.
Yes, hi, Annette.
Yeah, hi. Well, I think there was a lot of good examples both the presence and the listening, and also all of them. And sometimes I'm actually wondering, you know, how can you actually make a distinction and say, wow, this was presence, or usually it's a combination, I think. There's a lot of observations on energy shifts, for example, and I mean, you won't engage or you won't observe them if you're not present, and if you're not listening at that level, then you won't be able to notice, and then you notice it, and then you're direct communicating. I think, you know, that's one way of putting it at least. So there was a lot of sharing observations on energy shifts. And I was thinking it was a lot of direct communication, and also where was it? The question that actually made the shift, where the shift happened, about, you know, what helped you be disciplined, that was really listening to what the client was saying, something important there, and then. And then there was an insight there. I think that was really beautiful. So,
thank you, Annette. Yeah, and what I hear you speaking to is that whole, the coach acting as an integrated partner, where the coach is completely connected to the whole of the client.
Yeah, I felt I felt quite a lot where I was checked up on. Where do I want to go now? What should we talk about? All the decisions in the conversation was mine. So I had really this feeling of walking next to the coach and not sitting in front of, and do some exploring. I felt that I made the decisions all the time in which direction the conversation should go. And I was, in a way, very a comfortable way followed up on if this was the right thing.
Yeah, so what impact did that have for you as a client to experience it that way?
First of all, it has the impact that it's very clear that I have to do some changes, if I want changes to happen, instead of sitting back and expect a solution. I find that quite important. And I also got some help on the way in the questions. And for instance, instead of this one, in the conversation, the procrastination disappeared. But actually, it was brought back again. So in the sense, in a gentle way to say, yes, you might be high energized right now and see now there is some ways to go. But reality is also that procrastination is still there. And that made me, as it gave me the chance to see that, okay, procrastination is a natural part of being there. So instead of just ignoring it, and maybe that would pop up later and irritate me, then instead I said, okay, I'll find a way to handle it.
Yeah.
So bringing that back in the conversation where I actually, in my mind, had left it. I said, okay, no more procrastination. That's gone now. Let's move on. So also this a bit slowing down. You know, I find that helpful in slowing a bit down, because all of a sudden I would just run out the door and hurry to do something. But taking the time for a second thought, okay, so how would it look like?
And what you describe so greatly is if you look at the PCC marker, and which is in coaching presence, it says the coach acts in response to both the whole person of the client and what the client wants to accomplish. So the piece, that whole person, is exactly as you described, Jesper. Carly was listening all the way along, because part of the whole client is your procrastination. That's not going to go away.
Exactly, yeah.
Beautiful.
So for me, there was a very clear coaching presence. And I felt very clear a partnership with Carly, instead of me being the client.
Great, thank you. The other question I'm curious about, and I'm hopefully some of you will have some thoughts about that, around establishing the coaching agreement. What did you notice about the way Carly established the coaching agreement?
I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it was quite in the beginning that what I would like to do, what I would like to have being different after the conversation.
Great. I'm wondering what others noticed. I'd love to hear from others on the call. What did you notice about the process of establishing the coaching agreement?
This is Celine.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I noticed a few things around it. But at the end of the establishing the agreement, Carly asks Jesper, how would you like to explore it? So after addressing the issue on different levels, first asking for the topic, then asking for what Jesper really wants to address, and afterwards again ask what do we want to have at the end of the session, there was this, how would you like to explore it? And another time again and again, where's the starting point for this conversation? So that was really going deeper and deeper and deeper and narrow the What do you really, really, really want to talk about and why and how? So it was Jesper's creation all along.
Thank you. Yes. And those are also great examples of the partnering piece that Carly spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Partnering with the client to choose what happens in the session.
Yeah.
Beautiful demonstration in the coaching agreement of that. I'm also curious about the length of time. What did you notice about the length of time of the coaching agreement? Anybody?
Considering the total amount of time, it was actually quite a long time for this. You had 20 minutes. You used the first at least 5 minutes of the conversation. So it would have been really easy to just ask for the topic and then jump into the coaching. Because it was so small amount of time.
So
quite long.
Yeah, beautiful. Yes, so that's what I noticed too, is the length of time, the taking your time, exploring that whole thing about being really curious and exploring who this person is. And we know that from the coaching agreement, it doesn't have to happen in the first 5 minutes or 2 minutes. It can take up to half the amount of time of the coaching session. But if you're exploring in the process of finding out what's important for the client to focus on, you're still engaging in coaching skills. You're still demonstrating your coaching presence and your active listening skills and your direct communication. So the coaching agreement is important to help us know where the client wants to go and what they want to get out of it, but it doesn't have to happen right at the beginning of the coaching session, particularly if the coach is, or the client is not clear. Jasper wasn't clear really about the procrastination and why that was happening.
Mm.
Yeah, so taking that time, beautiful, great observation. Anything else? Any other thoughts or comments?
Yes, Mom is here.
There's a comment.
I'm sorry.
No, that's yeah. Fine. That's lovely. All right. Well, then what I'm going to just propose, just so that you, because we do have the handout and Carly went over the target core competencies, so let me just briefly show you and tell you which are the competencies. We talked about the coaching agreement, and the other one is planning and goal setting. And so both coaching agreement and planning goal setting are what we call, or at least Carly calls, application competencies. So in other words, the coaching agreement, we use the core competencies to apply the coaching agreement. So we want to separate that a little bit. And also, if you look at the next competencies, a group of competencies, which are output competencies, those are that happen as a result of engaging with the core competencies. And those are establishing trust and intimacy, creating awareness, designing actions, and managing progress and accountability. So if you think of it this way, if I take establishing trust and intimacy, when you are engaging in the way that Carly did with Jasper now, establishing trust and intimacy is a natural output of engaging with the core competencies. Or the awareness that he gained was an output or came as a result of the questioning, the presence, the listening. and also designing actions and managing the progress and accountability. So Carly, have I covered that, or is there anything that you'd like to add?
I think you've done a really great job, Karen, and your debrief was excellent. I don't know that I have anything else to add. I'm wondering what are the questions people have for us that we can use this time for to really be of value.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have a particular question or client or situation that they're curious about that we might be able to help you?
I'm not sure I really get the last part. this about which competences provide a framework and are applications of the core competences.
Yes.
What
Great.
Does that actually mean?
Yes. So if we look at the – thanks for asking, by the way, and thank you for asking for clarification. So if you think about the coaching agreement, it's not – necessarily a coaching skill in itself, but it's rather an application of coaching skills. So the coaching agreement provides the framework on how to make sure that we give the client what they want to get out of the session. And it's, in a way, you can think of it as a compass. It provides the compass of where we are heading, but we're using our coaching skills within that framework to head towards where the client wants to go.
Thank you.
And did that clarify it?
Just continue.
Great. And then the planning and goal setting is also another application of your coaching skill, because you have to be able to ask questions that will help the client clarify the bigger picture of what they want to accomplish. So in a way, it can be part of the coaching agreement, because you want to be asking the client what their bigger picture is, what is their vision, and that particular session that you're doing with the client in some way will be tying into that bigger plan and that bigger vision. So you're keeping both of those as the compass and the guidelines of where you're ultimately heading with the client. So today's session is where we're heading today, and the planning and goal setting is where did the client want to be by the end of your entire coaching engagement. So at the end of 3 months or at the end of 6 months, you know, they usually come and say, well, this is what I'd like to have accomplished in our sessions together.
Great. Thank you.
Did that clarify
yes.
it?
Absolutely.
Great.
Perfect.
Thank you. And thank you for asking. Any other questions?
This is Annette. I have a question. So if you were to give advice, and I know that coaches normally don't want to give advice, but how would you say you could really, how could you practice in a good way the core competences, so you really evolve into the master level? So what would be a key point to practice from your experience?
Great question. So I'll answer it from my perspective, because I'm at the PCC level looking to head into the MCC level, and then I'll let Carly share what she's done. For me, it's practice, 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 practice. It's getting a real understanding of the PCC markers. I find those have been a great help in really understanding partnering. What are the specific coaching skills and behaviors that demonstrate that master level? And the other thing is, I personally believe there's a level of self-development that I've noticed myself needing to be engaged in order to be and become the type of coach that's capable of coaching at the level that Carly just coached. That's not just skill. There's something else that's deeper in the way that coach has developed themselves and sees the world and sees other people that contributes to that skill level.
Yeah, thank
so
you.
That's what I mm-hmm. would say. Carly, mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, you're so articulate, Karen, and kind. And yes, it is a personal journey. I think that one of the things that is hardest is we're often, even in executive coaching, there's often a consultative or training element. And so I think one of the things that people can do is separate out and be clear on when you're moving in the beginnings of an assignment or a potential job, you actually are in a consultative component. If you're doing assessments inside companies or if you're doing interviews or things like that, which I know Karen, we often get engaged in, I actually say we're in the consultative phase. And we'll move into the coaching phase after they have created their coaching development plan. And then once that plan has been created and that comes from the client, and I may give my observations and input, but I don't create those things. So I make sure that I empower my client to create their own plan. Once that plan has been created, then really the coaching begins. And so now I say we're moving fully into the coaching phase. You have your plan. Things may change. That's okay. This is really, though, what comes to you to work on based on what's happening in your life and environment, and we'll work with that, knowing that it's going to be in your plan. It won't be linear where we go in your plan. It'll be wherever you feel most compelled to work based on what's happening. So separating out the different types of roles that you play can be a good way to really hone your coaching skills versus being just blending them all in with consulting and training.
Yeah, and this is Karen. Another thing came up for me, and that is it's the mindset shift. It's, you know, because we are often brought into organizations as the expert, and I know for me there's a tendency to whenever I'm in the mindset that I have to provide value, I have to provide a certain outcome. When I get into that thinking, that's when I find myself shifting from just really being with the individual to feeling that I need to do something, I need to solve a problem or help them come to a resolution. And so it's a very much a mindset shift that, you know, is something that for me has required a lot of practice. And I have a tendency to fall into the old trap. So it's that old, like Jasper said, is procrastination is there. For me, it's the trap of going into problem solving and keep reminding myself by actually engaging with the target approach. I actually put that up on my screen, and I try and remind myself, just be present, ask questions, direct communication, and focus on the person, not on the problem. And until that becomes unconscious, it's practice, practice, practice. Did that help, Annette?
No? Yes, thank you very much for sharing that. I just muted myself again, so that's why. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
I'm curious, do we have any other MCC coaches on the line right now that may have had a different experience or an additional experience? Maybe others have something to share in how they're making that shift?
Well, I think I can. I ask because I'm training or practicing to reach the MCC level, and I think the mind shift and the personal development thing is really really important, right? Like you pointed to, and I think also the PCC markers has made it easier for us to know what is it that they're actually looking for in the assessments. And I'm not sure that all the Danish coaches know about the PCC markers. So if they don't know about it, I can send the link to where it is on the webpage afterwards. But it's really it's really helpful to work with them. So I can absolutely recommend that.
Yes, absolutely, Annette. I think the PCC markers are absolutely crucial. And, of course, Carly and I being ICF assessors, and we've just been trained in the new PCC markers, it has made a world of difference, even to my own coaching, just really understanding what that looks like and what that means and what partnering really is. So I can highly recommend for all coaches to really start looking at those PCC markers. All right. So I see that we're almost at time. I'm going to suggest that we shift to a checkout unless there's anything else from your side, Carly, or maybe from Annette, from you?
Nothing from me, Carly. I think that's good.
Okay. Great. One thing I do want to say is, Jasper, since you were so kind to step up, Carly and I would like to offer you the Target Approach. She has a 40-minute product that you will receive. So if you could maybe send either, Carly or myself your email, that would be great, and we'll get that product to you. So thank you
very much. Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you, Jasper. This is Carly. Yeah, we're delighted to offer you that.
Oh, I'll be more than happy to. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to. This is Karen. Yes. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say if you wanted to wrap up, then.
Yep. Yes. Yep. So this is Karen. I just want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I really appreciate the opportunity to present to you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. You can find us at thementorcoachinggroup.com. And with that, I'll pass to Carly.
Yes. Thanks, Karen. Thank you, Annette, for the opportunity to we always love to share with ICF chapters anything that will help to increase the professionalism of coaching around the world, and we feel that discussions and demonstrations and critiquing of anything to do with ICF core competencies is a way to do that. So thank you for inviting us.
And I just I just want to thank the both of you and for everyone on the call for being here, and for you, Jesper, to putting yourself in here for us all to experience the wonderful coaching at the MCC level. I think really it's so great to have these demonstrations, because I think that's really helpful. And I really hope that in the Danish chapter that we can also be more open to and sometimes maybe a little bit more courageous to be able to share and coach each other and share this, because that's really how we can learn so much about making these distinctions. So I'll just stop this thing, and all of you.